Translating Hopefulness. This is episode 748 of The Next Step, October 6th, 2022.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of The Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
There are a couple of words that are being thrown around lately, rather loosely. I don't want to say recklessly. Definitely, I think, with good intention. In other words, words that express the way people are feeling. Hopeless, helpless. And these feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, lead to some of the bigger issues that we're seeing all around us, namely depression, namely giving up. And there is a big public health crisis now taking place throughout the world. I'm talking about here in the United States. Kind of an interesting phenomena that when you think about the United States with all of its pluses, with all of its innovation, its successes, with the seeming successes that materialism brings, it's got this high incident of depression, high incident of killing, of shootings. And it's really phenomenal. I mean, in an affluent society such as the United States, where you would think in an affluent society these things wouldn't be part of the game, you have this disproportionate number of killings, senseless killings, shootings, randomly. And you go, what's going on? Does this, and this, of course, contributes. It's like a vicious cycle, right? This in itself contributes to the feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, because basically this beautiful thing that we call life and all of its wonders are instantly over. And you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, is that how fragile life is? Yes, it is. And this is what we've been talking about as a church from the beginning of time, right? That life is fragile. There has to be more meaning to it than what you accumulate in your pocket. There is something greater than that. Believe it or not, yeah, there is, right? He's saying, why are we talking about? Well, what else is the church supposed to be talking about? This is what Jesus talked about. This is what Jesus was talking about daily. He says, your life is worth more than what you eat, what you dress, what you wear. Make yourself right with God. And if we call ourselves the body of Christ, then yet we have to be doing the work that Jesus Christ began with his ministry here on earth. And we become the body that continues it. Well, you say, what work? Well, look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus begins his ministry by proclaiming the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. He has ordained me to do this. And he talks about the recovery of sight of blind. But there's a beautiful small little area, a small little phrase in there. And by the way, it belongs to Armodoxy. It is an Armenian Orthodox. Not all translations have this one little phrase. In fact, just recently, a few years ago, I know one of the dioceses published a book of readings for the Sunday lessons. And in there, the Sunday that had this one designated, I believe it's the third Sunday in October coming up. That Sunday, if you read it in there, this phrase is not in there. Well, why? Not because they're trying to change, not because they're trying to change what the church believes or anything. No, we simply do cut and paste, right? We go to a Bible, online Bible, and you cut it and you paste it. No, let's not pick on the guy. I mean, we've all done that, right? You cut and paste, especially if you prepare Bible studies, you prepare church bulletins, you go to an online Bible and you cut and paste. But unfortunately, everybody's just like picking whatever translation is out there. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. There are certain translations that don't include everything. Certain translations that remove things or change things. Yeah. So you go back to the Armenian translation, you see what was in there, and there it is. The book of Isaiah that Jesus opens up and says, this is what I was ordained to do. And in there, there's a little phrase, to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Let me read for you the entire passage, okay? And it says that Jesus went according to his tradition, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know what? We read this. I'm going to go for it because I love the follow-up on this. This is very important, the follow-up in this. It says, then he closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed and fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You get it? I've said all this, but look, who is the one who has been ordained to do this? It's me. And in your hearing, this has been fulfilled. That's what he's saying to them. Now, what's exciting about this is that he's talking about the mission that his body needs to continue. Namely, we as the church and that healing of the brokenhearted. This is where it comes in. Who are these brokenhearted? Well, we're talking about people who are suffering from depression. Why? Because they feel helpless, hopeless. And how do we get to this point? Well, first of all, it's not a new phenomenon. People have felt hopeless and helpless through centuries, right? Throughout all of history, there have been many, many things. But what I will say is that there are certain times in life where events happen around you and you feel that hopelessness and helplessness. And primarily when it comes to death, because it's the ultimate helplessness. Not hopelessness. That's what Jesus came and changed. That death was no longer hopeless. But helpless, yeah. Because you realize you can't do it. There's a beautiful scene in the Superman movie. I love that scene, actually. Where his father dies. And young Clark Kent looks up at his mom and says, I can do everything. I could do everything. And I couldn't help him. And that kind of like brings everybody's anxiety level. It raises everybody's anxiety level up high, doesn't it? Because you realize that with all the things that you can do, all the things that you can buy, there is one thing that you can't do. Namely, you cannot extend life. When the time comes, it's over. You close your eyes and it's over. And that reality is something that we have to deal with. It's not hopelessness, because Jesus Christ showed us that there was a bridge that we cross over and there is a new life after that. But it is a helpless feeling because there's nothing you can do to stop it. Yeah, we can come up with some of the fixes that we have. Yeah, there's CPR and we take them in and we do it. But these are temporary fixes. Even if you get another 20, 30 years out of it, it's still temporary, right? At some point, it's over. Death is part of the living game. Every child that has been born and every child that is born today is living toward that death date. I know that sounds horrible and depressing. That's why we don't say it. But there are people who let this concept fester within them. That's what I want to talk about, that festering. I got to remember that word. I love that word because it's exactly what's happening. You know what a fester is? It's like, oh, go look it up. I'm not even going to explain it. It's horrible. But when you look at the word, when you see that word, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. People let these concepts and these ideas fester within them. And of course, what happens at the end of the day, you become more and more hopeless, more and more depressed. Yeah, it's not a new phenomenon. Back in 1970, it was. Actually, I was a young kid. I was 14 years old. And it was one of the first albums that I bought. It was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And they were playing some beautiful music that I really got into at the time. And Neil Young played this song called Helpless. Yes, you want to get depressed, play some Neil Young, it'll get you there, right? helpless. Yeah, it's nothing new, but we are feeling more and more helpless. And the reason is, I think, because of the bombardment of information coming at us at an incredible rate. But it's not just that. It's that we don't know how to process this massive amount of information that's coming to us. Okay, look, in an older time, and I know, I hate saying these older time things, but I'm guessing. I look at the demographics of people who've listened to The Next Step. We've got that middle group of people, okay? We've got that people that are in between. We've definitely got the 30s, the 30-somethings. I don't know. I don't think we have the younger ones anymore, but we may. I don't know. I'd love to hear from you. Definitely got the 30s, definitely the 40s, 50s, and then we've got some of the old-timers, okay, that would remember some of these things, yeah, like dial phones, but would also remember newspapers. And I think for the most part, we all understand the concept of a newspaper. But believe it or not, there used to be a morning paper and an afternoon paper. And it was the job of an editor, listen to that word, editor, to make the decision on what goes into that newspaper. Now, this isn't restriction of free information. No, it isn't. It's exactly what I've been saying about the Gospels, too. When you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's not like, oh, hey, this is everything Jesus did. No, it isn't. Each of these evangelists acts as an editor and says, okay, hey, I'm writing this. I want to address a certain issue. I will remember this particular story or that particular story. Basically looking at the audience who's going to be reading it. So in a sense, yeah, the evangelists were editors, so to speak, editors of the life of Christ, and saying, we'll take this part and we'll present this part. Does it mean that they cut out anything? No, it just means that this is what they wanted to share with the readers. This is why I tell you all the time, a Bible study isn't to just, hey, let's get a Bible and read it. It's understanding where it came from. And you can only do that from the author of the Bible. And no, don't fool yourself. The author of the Bible is not God. God gave you a much greater gift than the Bible. He gave you his son, his only begotten son. He gave you Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the gift that he gave you as a Bible. Jesus Christ didn't give you a Bible. He never wrote anything. He said some beautiful things that changed people's lives. He said beautiful things and he acted upon them that gave us eternal life. But who wrote these things? It was his body, the church. And it's very important to remember that. The Bible just didn't fall out of heaven. No, God gave us his son. His son gave us his body, the church, to do the work. And it was the church that put together what we call today the Bible. And believe it or not, it didn't show up in nice leather bound. You know, no cows were sacrificed for the cover. Rather, probably you had like sheepskin and other things that people were writing on. But the cows, they came in later when they made the leather-bound Bibles that everybody had to buy. And, you know, we put up on our shelves and show off that, hey, I've got a Bible. So if you come into my house, you can look at my Bible. I've got a Bible on my shelf. So he kind of like defines who I am. Oh, did you want me to read it? Interesting, right? Yeah, I'm talking about all of us, right? We have Bibles. But how many of us have taken the time to go ahead and read it? More than read it, engage with it. And that's something that the church does. The church, as the author of that Bible, brings it to you and shares it with you. And so the church becomes like that editor that said, okay, these are the things. And this is what we had. We had information that was coming to a newspaper office. And for instance, the war is going on in this country. Economics is bad. But the people who are reading this newspaper want to know about local issues. What happened down the street? And the editor would pick it out and say, okay, these are the local issues. Let's put them on this particular page or this particular section. And there was a sports game happening a couple nights ago. Let's take the statistics of that, put them here. We know that there's financial people and they want to know what their stocks are doing. And so a newspaper was an orderly way of looking at that information that was coming to you. And an editor's job was to sift through it and not put every single word there, but actually give you bits and pieces that made sense for you. There's nothing wrong with this. I know people are out there, oh, that's like infringes on my freedom of information and speech. No, you're free to do whatever you want. But you can't do everything. And that's what we've done right now. We know a little about everything because our lives are filled with bombardment. Bombardment coming into us from all sides, from the social media pages and being brought to us in our pockets by these little devices, telephones that they pose, they guise us telephones, but really what they are is that they're just basically your assistant. They carry your calendar on there, your lists on there, and they give you information regular. And you have a notification in there too, that so you could just say, hey, well, wait a minute. You know, if I'm just sitting over here, I want my phone to beep at me and tell me, hey, there's something new going on. You better check this out. Okay, that's good. You know, we're all entitled to that information, but what are we doing with it? How are you processing that? How are you taking that and making it a better place, making your life a better moment, a better life? How are you making your world a better place? I saw this as I was preparing for today. I said, let me see what the news items were for today. Okay, here, this is like wild. I mean, because, you know, as I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about today and how I'm going to be presenting it, because I've got to tell you, my second portion, we're going to be talking about the Holy Translators. And I want to talk about some of the work that we're doing here through epostle.net. As I get prepared for that, I'm looking at what the news, because I wanted to talk about this helpless, hopeless idea. And the first thing that comes up, it's something that comes from Madison, Wisconsin. Man accused in parade deaths removes shirt, interrupts judge. So I'll just read it. A Madison, Wisconsin man defending himself against homicide charges for allegedly plowing his SUV through a Christmas parade, stripped off his shirt, sat with his back to the camera, and stuck a sign he'd been given to signal objections down his pants. Thursday, before opening statements, began in his trial. And it goes on to talk about what this guy did and everything, and what the judge did, how the judge was disappointed. The judge gave him warnings, and the man wanted to do this and that. He wanted to defend himself. But listen to that one sentence that I read. Look at all the things that are bombarding you with information. What man? Wisconsin man. What was he doing? He was defending himself. Against what? Homicide charges. Well, what was the homicide? Allegedly, that word. Oh, you mean it's possible that he didn't do it? Yeah, absolutely. He's innocent until you prove him guilty. Plowing his SUV. What? He didn't drive his... He plowed his what? Not a regular car, an SUV. Through what? A parade? No, a Christmas parade. And then what did he do in the court? Well, there's the sensationalism. He stripped off his shirt. Oh, there you go. He took off his shirt. And he put his back to the camera and go on and on and on. Okay. Now, that's just one paragraph from this story. And you listen to that story. And then what do you do with this information? Unless you're related to this man, or unless you are related or somehow affected by the insane actions of this man, how he, or let's keep it consistent, allegedly did this horrible act of killing people and everything, unless you are somehow connected to them, this information is useless to you. What are you going to do about it? It may inspire you to go into law. It may inspire you to go into criminology, perhaps. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why these things, but more and more, this information is at our fingertips. And now all of the main services. It's not like a newspaper anymore. Apple has news. You can pay $10 a month and you get Apple News. In other words, the editor over at Apple has decided these are the things that you need to be watching. Microsoft has its news service. I mean, it's not just the newspapers and everybody. And his brother now has an opportunity to give you news. I mean, we do it. Let me not look far, right? You listen to the Next Step for the last 15 years. Well, we've reported news too, right? But what we've tried to do is take that and put it in the context of some kind of a spiritual answer to that. And that happens to be what we do. That's why you listen to The Next Step. You're listening to it for an analysis from the spiritual point of view. We're not going to sit here and give you analysis of what happened in the courtroom and the legal issues there. That's not what we do. And so you go to these different places for what you, and there are websites that will analyze that. There are TV shows. There's thousands of ways of analyzing different information. But what's happening now is that we are privy to those thousand different ways, thousand different means of analysis, and analysis over analysis becomes paralysis. And that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're sitting around and we are getting so much information. And it's really, now listen really carefully. I'm going to use this word, but I'm going to use it cautiously, at least tell you cautiously. It's worthless information. Unless you are part of that, unless it has something to do with you, obviously, like for instance, this information that I told you about this guy who took his shirt off. It's sensational news, right? It gets you excited to say, oh, look at this guy. But it has nothing to do with your life. has nothing to do with, unless, as I said, he's related to you or you're related to some of the victims. Yes, absolutely. No question about it. But when you think about it, that's really a very small number of people who are affected by this article that is now on the front pages of many of the websites. Why? Because it's sensational. So you look at it and it says that a man accused in parade deaths removes his shirt. And you say, well, let me find out what that is. Trump is excellent at this. You know, when you look at the information that comes out about Trump, he's on many, many websites. He's excellent in bringing attention. And, you know, as the saying goes, no publicity is bad publicity. Whatever publicity you get, you're going to take. And there's people who pay money to get put on these websites, to get put in that top headline area, right? You want that attention. But what does it do to us? It makes you look and you say, wow, if this is happening, and this is how fragile life is, there's a helplessness and a hopelessness which leads to depression. Let's take a break right now. We play a song once, a song a week. This is what I picked for today. I pick an Armenian one for a good reason. Because when we get back, I'm going to talk about translators. Are you galloping away? That's called Hampartsmansiagan. What does that translate to? What? Ascension Cowboys? Listen, this is by a group called Harashk Manugner, Miraculous Youth. And the only thing I know about it is off of CD that was produced in 2001 for the 1700th anniversary of Armenian Christianity. And I can't tell you anything more about it because I've scoured the internet, I've searched it endlessly, and I cannot find a link to these people. So I'm not going to be able to provide you with a link. If one of you knows something about this group, please send me some details. I do have 10 tracks which were ripped off the CD that I had at that time. I had some beautiful CDs that I just ended up ripping because now we don't have CD players. I mean, even in the cars, that was the last vestige of CD. I remember when those CDs first came out, they said, this will be the last thing you'll ever need because they are indestructible. Yeah, that's great. They're indestructible. But we don't have CD players. And for that reason, I can't tell you more about this particular song. All that I can tell you, it's by Rashmanogner, and it's called Hampartsman Tsiagan. I would love to find out more information, but the reason I played it is to put us in the mood for what's ahead right now. We're going to be talking about the Holy Translators, and believe it or not, it's not about language, it's about something more. Welcome back. I've been talking about hopeless and helpless. And as I shared a few minutes ago, I'll go a little bit deeper into it. Yes, we do feel helpless by all the things that we are subjected to every day, everything that bombards us. It's overwhelming. And yeah, it will make us feel more and more helpless in our situation and how we deal with our lives. But hopeless? No. Hopeless is answered by Jesus Christ. Because people, they lost their hope. What do? You live, you die, and then it's over. No. Jesus said there's more to it. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end at the grave. And all of a sudden, that hopelessness, that what happens to us. Now, this isn't just a phenomenon that took place after Jesus Christ. While Jesus was with us, here in this world, there was hopelessness, as there is today, right? Because our church is here, acting as the body of Christ, and there's still a lot of hopelessness. What Jesus Christ did is he changed that hopelessness to hopefulness through his resurrection. And now that becomes our target as a church, for us to talk about that resurrection, so that we can be hopeful. Hopeful of tomorrow. Because even during Jesus' time, in particular, look at that last week of his life, right? The immense hopelessness. When his friends, his family, all sitting around, they saw him coming into Jerusalem, king, and people were putting down their garments so that he could walk over it and he wouldn't go over the puddles. And here comes our king. Hosanna in the highest. We are so glad because here comes the Savior who's going to save us from the horrible Roman Empire. Jesus comes in on Palm Sunday, and by Thursday, wow. Big change, right? One of his closest friends betrays him. His closest friends all abandon him. He is tried, convicted, and sentenced by the elite. By the elite religious community. Wait, Jesus, you're a religious man. No, the elite. Religious community, they try him. Like what is it called? The pig circus, right? They try him with false witnesses, and they sentence him to death. And then they put him up on a cross, and they bring in the Romans. The Romans, they say, we don't want to put any part of this. We have no idea what this man is. It's your problem. No. You have to do it because you have the ability to put him to death. And so they put him to death. And let me tell you that if you were there on that Good Friday, what we call Good Friday now, if you were there on that horrible Friday, you would be completely devastated and hopeless if you were a friend of Jesus. If you were like this man we were talking about, that you're reading the story, you'd say, well, what am I supposed to do with this information? But if you were there, if you were a friend of Christ, and you saw him being tortured, tormented, and put on a cross, and then you saw him breathe his last, you would be absolutely hopeless. Helpless? Oh, definitely, along the way. But you'd be hopeless at this point. You'd say, well, what was that all about? All he did is he came and he talked about love. He healed people. He shared everything that he had with the world. He came, and when we wanted to praise him, he said, "No, I'm just a servant. I have come as a servant." Humble, humility. He let us touch God. And in return, he was killed. I mean, okay, I'm done. Hopeless. Hopeless, definitely. Humanity is hopeless. And I'd share with you, I think, that if you were a psychologist, if there was such a profession at that time, your office would be full on that Saturday with people coming in and saying, "What happened?" You know, these days when there's a shooting, they send out psychologists to the schools, to the malls where these events have happened, to deal with people who've been traumatized. Imagine the trauma back then. Seeing this beautiful man who just shared his love with everybody, see him put on a cross, humiliated, and then beaten and killed. Okay, that's it. I'm done. No more hope for humanity. And what happens on Sunday morning? He resurrects, and that resurrection changes that hopelessness to hopefulness, because you realize if he's done it, he's promised each and every one of us that follow, that's the same for us. It's complete hopefulness. Now, this weekend happens to be the weekend of the Holy Translators in the Armenian Church. And this is a group of people who have translated the faith. No. They're not contemporaries. Actually, it's interesting. The group that is known as the Holy Translators all belong to different centuries. They lived at different times. You know, this week they announced the Nobel Prizes. I think it was the one for physics or mathematics. It was a group. It was a group of people who had gotten together, I believe two men and a woman, who had gotten together and come up with this incredible formula for DNA reproduction and whatever it was. I forgot the details. That's not important. But it was a group of contemporaries. In other words, they knew each other. They shared information. The translators weren't one of that group. The translators that the Armenian Church remembers this weekend, for instance, Mesrob Mashtots, right? 5th century. David Anhacht from the 8th century. And it goes on all the way to one of the translators is St. Nerses Shnorhali, 12th century. Okay, so you've got people from the 4th century all the way to the 12th century in this group. What binds them together is their ability to translate the faith. And this isn't about language. It's not about taking the Hebrew and making it into Armenian, or taking the Greek and translating it in from the Aramaic and everything. No, it's not about that. It's about translating the faith. Very, very important distinction. They use the word translate, but it's not about a language that you and I speak. It's about a language that you and I feel. I have to admit that in my lifetime, there have been many things that have really moved me. Birth of my children, the beauty around me that leaves me in awe. People, historical figures, don't really move me to that point. But I did get moved beyond what I could describe when I was in the small little area of the town of Oshagan, Armenia. And there is the grave of St. Mesrob Mashtots. And it's inside the church at Oshagan. It's underneath the altar. I don't know what happened to me, but when I went down under the altar to that grave, I lost it. I couldn't control the emotions, the tears, the feeling that I had. And I can't even describe it to you. All I know is that I was affected. Perhaps it's because you realize Mesrob Mashtots, because of this one monk who was able to really speak a language of God, taking the scriptures and putting an alphabet together. And because his love for the scriptures, of trying to get Jesus translated to the people, we now have an alphabet and a culture and a people. And you realize that everything is dependent on these small little things that happen throughout history. And I'm saying this because we are now at a very crucial point in our ministry. We just launched epostle.net. And I think about it in many ways that, you know, it is a translation issue. Not about language, but about translating. And perhaps the word is transmitting, but it is a translation issue as well. Transmitting the faith involves first getting it and translating it in a form that we can understand. Now, this week, we've been doing daily shows. And if you haven't watched them or listened to them, each one is about 2 to 3 minutes long. I highly recommend that you get on epostle.net. I'll put a link on today's show notes directly to the page. It's called Daily Messages. Each one, 2 to 3 minutes. And if you actually, if you do it today, if you listen to them today, let's see, what is that? That's five of them. You got about 15 minutes, and you could get through the entire catalog. That's a special that takes place today. Next week, it'll be a half an hour. If you try to catch up in a few weeks, it might take you an hour. Anyway, each one is a very short one from Monday through Friday. We produce these small little snippets of what issues of faith, of armadoxy. And it is a translating effort. I really feel that God has blessed us with this ministry called Epostle, because Epostle is doing exactly that. It's taking the faith and breaking it down in a way that we could understand. And it, more than anything else, it's been a lesson for me, because everything that we've been talking about for the last 15 years, now I have this beautiful opportunity to put it together, to give it structure and share it with everyone. And so I'm very, very thankful for this opportunity. I thank God every morning that I wake up and have an opportunity to really indulge in this ministry. And I thank all of you who've been part of this, that are making it work. And this is what we do. We take it and we translate it. Why? Because we don't want to be hopeless. We want to find that hopefulness that Jesus Christ gives us. And so I'll share with you, I think last week when we did our next step, we did exactly that. It was the preface to the daily messages. The first one that I talked about was how Jesus tweeted. And as I said, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to make Jesus a contemporary. I'm not trying to get a rise out of you. No, I'm using that expression, which is very valid. Tweet. Tweet is 140 or 280 character, that message that you put out there. And that's what Jesus did. He was very efficient, effective with his words. Every word counted. And he did that. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Hey, that's a tweet. If he was tweeting today, that would be a tweet. It'd be considered a tweet, right? No. We're not trying to make Jesus contemporary. He doesn't need my help to do that. Trust me, Jesus is contemporary, transcends all times. He's always, forever contemporary. He doesn't need me to do that. But what I like to do is translate it, to take that and translate it to people that might understand the message that is coming through. So you say, oh yeah, that is a tweet. That is a tweet. And that's all the translators did. They took language. They took their skills. David Anhacht, for instance, he was a philosopher. He was so well known as a, and you know, philosophy was very big in the among the Greeks. David Anhacht was an Armenian philosopher in the Armenian church, who would engage in debates with the Greeks, and he would win. Anhacht means he invincible. Invincible. And that was not a descriptor that the Armenians gave him. The Greeks gave him that descriptor. because he was able to articulate a message. He was able to put it in terms that those people... Now, you have to admit that if you or I sat there with Greeks from the 8th century, there would be no conversation, right? Why? Because you need to know how to talk to them. And it's the same way. Right now, if we're talking to people, everybody knows what a tweet is. And so we offer that. Not to be cute, but to translate it in terms that we understand. And that's what this ministry, Epostle, is all about. It's apostolic evangelism for an electronic world, where a word like tweet would make sense. In today's daily message, we took an image from Webb Telescope. Have you seen the images that are coming to NASA from the Webb Telescope? I'll put a link on today's show notes, okay? Check it out. Webb Telescope. I mean, it's phenomenal. Jaw-dropping. And you're saying that's way out there. Yeah, we talked about that today. Because you have to talk about it. Did Jesus talk about those stars? Absolutely. He talked about the love that God has for all of us to create us as these people who can appreciate that. Look up at the stars and appreciate that. And realize that God has put all of this in motion. And so I talked about that image and how by looking up at the heavens from the beginning of time, people have looked up to the heavens and tried to find the answers to their hopelessness and translate it into hopefulness. If we can do that, then Epostle is doing its work. May the memory of our beautiful translators forever inspire us to do the same. The holy and precious translators, saints of our church, saints because they brought people to Jesus Christ in means and ways that were understandable for the people they engaged with. Here is somebody that tries to engage with us all the time, that piano player, and he's in here, which means that, okay, we got to engage with Susie. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Hey, thank you, Susie, and thank you, all of you, for all of the wonderful messages you've been sending. I know Epostle is wild, isn't it? Well, let's make it a little bit more wild, too, okay? First of all, I have some announcements that I need you to pay attention to. It's a very, very important. If you were listening to the Next Step before last week, if last week was your first Next Step or today's your Next Step, ignore the next minute, okay? If you were listening to Next Step earlier and you got the Next Step from a podcatcher, that's like Apple's podcast app, if you're using Stitcher, if you're using Spotify, you're using whatever way you were doing to catch that podcatcher, right? You need to change it because now we are broadcasting from epostle.net. It's very easy. Let me tell you how to do it on the Apple podcast, and you can do it on any of the podcatchers, okay? Just go and search for The Next Step with Father Vazgen. And remember how to spell my name. It's V-A-Z. You know why it's a Z? Because in Armenian, it's a Z. It's a Z. It's not an S. And if you do it with an S, you'll get messed up, okay? You need to do the next step with Father Vazgen. Put it in the search box. You will get the latest one. Click the subscribe button. You will also see the older ones. The older ones, if you subscribe or you did subscribe to them, they will not regenerate because they were coming off of the InIssues servers. It's a technical issue. All you need to do at this point is just resubscribe to the next step with Father Vazgen. Okay? Make sure you do that and it'll come to you as it always has. A lot of stuff going on epostle.net. It is like a website that we invite you to engage with, get involved, see all the stuff that's on there. The next steps from the beginning of time are there. Many of the projects are there, and it's being updated, and new information is coming on daily. So regularly check it out because it's some fantastic stuff. Also, there's a chance for you to put your name and your email address in there. If you do, you're going to get a once a week email, which will give you a rundown of all the spiritual messages and connections that I'm going to say that you need, actually more than you need, okay? So I hope you will go to epostle.net. Do you need me to spell it out? Okay, it's apostle with an E. Epostle means apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. All right. That does it for this week. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of my wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us all week long at epostle.net. And, of course, again next week when we will take it.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other
options. Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanded universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.